Matthew chapter 24. Begin reading at verse 32 of the 24th chapter of Matthew. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. As I understand the word of God, and I say this as I understand the word of God, the fig tree in the Old Testament and the New surely refers to the elect nation, the Jewish people. And it is without question significant that the Jews, at least for a while, now occupy all of the city of Jerusalem. There was tremendous attention given to the Bible during the month of June when the war broke out over in the Middle East. If the scriptures are to be interpreted, Jerusalem shall be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. This is a significant hour, and it may be that God has moved in a tremendous way in your day and mine to call men's attention to the holy book, the Bible. I have a dear friend who's now in glory, greatly used man of God, who two Christmases ago was returning from a preaching engagement on Christmas Eve, and a drunken bum coming the other way in a car smashed into his and killed him. And he told me one time that he believed, and he was a man who had seen much of the miraculous. He said, I believe that God has done his due in bringing signs and miracles to America. And he's going to leave us to our fate. I don't know. But the Lord is referring to a reactivity in the Jewish nation. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, then you shall know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door, the summer. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven. The only one knows about that is my Father only. But this is so, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I have to be honest, in an attempt to preach from a passage of Scripture like this, not wishing at all to get anybody to change his belief. But this is a passage of Scripture that's a little deep for me. If I knew what the expression, the coming of the Son of Man, be, if I knew for sure what the interpretation of that is. I know more than I do now. But I am prepared to say that means one of two things, which I am not certain. It means that you people, most all of you, and I know you, dear pastor, and old crazy Tyner here, believes that this refers to what is called in theological circles, but what is not biblical, the second coming of Christ. For the Bible knows many comings of Christ. We've already had numbers of them. He came many, many, many times and appeared to the people in Old Testament days, didn't he? And he certainly came on the day of Pentecost. And he certainly came when Titus came and destroyed Jerusalem. That is not a good term. The word coming means presence. Christian people are divided, I hope friendly, because none of us know enough to get mad at anybody if we differ some on the interpretation of the Word of God, on anything except the person work of Christ. I'll be your friend if we differ, but we'll have to agree on that. But the word coming means presence. And the Lord was certainly present in the power of the Holy Spirit, for no sinner is ever convicted of sin or saved except he's brought into the very presence of the Lord. You can preach till you're blue in the face and pound him on the head, but nobody ever yet has believed that he were a wicked, corrupt sinner except as he got a glimpse of the holiness of the risen Son of God. So this coming may mean the bodily return of the Lord. I believe the Lord is going to come back in his risen body, the Lord in glory. I am not certain that that's what it's talking about here. But either way, if he comes bodily or comes in the great power of his presence, suit me just fine. If he come and manifest himself to a world like he did that gang on the day of Pentecost, suit me all right. But I'm dead certain that means one of these two. And that leads me to say that whatever has happened over in Jerusalem these last few months makes everybody who believes the Bible have some assurance that the coming of the Lord, in whatever aspect it is here, is nearer than we think. And I want to speak to you briefly tonight about the gospel for days like the days of Noah. In the Word of God, three things are said about Noah's day. In the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, our attention is called to the fact that the wickedness of men was great, and the imaginations of the hearts of men were evil continually. This generation could thus be characterized, this one in which you and I live, could be characterized as the day like it was in the day of Noah. Amen. On the count of wickedness. Wickedness in high places. Wickedness flourishing like the almond tree. In the second place, in the sixth chapter of Genesis, we are told that violence filled the earth. You ever been in a riot? I was in the first of the riots in America when the whites and the colored people in Detroit, Michigan killed each other by the multiplied hundreds on the streets. The papers never published much about it way back yonder. when you could feel this cut, the tenseness and the hellishness and the lawlessness in the air with a pocket knife. I was in Detroit, Michigan when they had the first sit-down strike. And they had the machine guns trained there to shoot the striking union men in the Chrysler plant. I forget which Chrysler plant is in. And then the governor called it off. You have a television set, turn on the news, the students in Shanghai are rioting, the students in Birmingham are rioting, the students in this college down Mississippi are rioting, the whites are rioting, the colored are rioting, the beat is rioting, the hippies are rioting, everybody's rioting now. Violence, not just in America, was in the land. This day in which we live. If you're talking about violence erupting on every hand, gives us pause. And then in the book of Genesis, another thing, more terrible than these two, is mentioned. They were corrupt. I better turn to that and read it. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. That's sodomy. Sexual perversion. Amen. The craves for the flesh of the opposite sex. I like for you young men training to read the old Puritan, but I wish you'd read something about what's going on now. You ought to get the book The Sixth Man, written by a newspaper reporter. Took him 10 years to get documents, to document what he had seen. He visited every sinner in America. He lived with the sodomites. I don't know if he's telling the truth or not, but he tells us that one out of every 6 adults in America is a sodomite. That's not a preacher with an axe to grind, it's a reporter documenting everything he says. 700,000 sodomites in New York City alone. 70,000 male sodomite prostitutes walk the streets of New York City alone. In the Word of God, sodomy is at the bottom of the ladder. If you think about the corruption of the natural way of the flesh, male and female created he them, and if this reporter is in a million miles of the truth, this day fits in pretty well with what's going on, was in Noah's day. What did God do in Noah's day? What was God's answer in Noah's day? In the book of Peter, 1 Peter it is, and the 3rd chapter, we read beginning in verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened of the Spirit, by which Spirit he also went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now Christ didn't do it. Noah did it. Christ preached through Noah. men had to hear from heaven through a man in Noah's day. This scripture doesn't mean that Christ went to hell and preached. That's nice little preaching, but it's not what he's talking about here. But through Noah and the Spirit, Christ, for he is the only preacher, and men are just voices, and Christ brings the message from heaven through these lips of clay. Now, it was pretty rough in Noah's day. But God didn't change his way. If men will not hear from heaven by the lips of men, they just won't hear. Maybe God should have done something else, but he did. That's pretty solid. I don't know about you, brother. Mean as I am, it bothers me the way this world is jumping on each other's backs to seem like try to get to hell the quickest. If you think about every generation, read your church history. And if this Bible's got a lick of truth in it, the vast multitudes in every generation have refused to be moved by the message from heaven brought through the lips of men. That's the only way God speaks. I always kind of get depressed when I go to a big city like this. You stand on a street corner. Watch the multitudes. Finish that corner in an hour. Watch the cars buzzing, airplanes whizzing. Life live. Hurry, 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 hurry. Hurry where? And sometimes, believing that this book is God's truth, although I can't understand much of it, I say in my heart, Lord, why don't you do more than you've done so far to get men to hear the truth from thee? But he just don't do it. I don't believe God takes pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Bible says it don't. I believe God not willing that any should perish. The Bible says he's not. I believe that God would have all men to be saved. I believe that. I believe the heart of the gospel is that God would have all men saved. It looks to me like God, it looked like in a day like Noah, he'd done more than empower a man to speak for him. That's all he did. By which he also went and preached into the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. While the ark was a preparing, God held his judgment all. No Peter, no attacking away on that ark, preaching righteousness. God holding back judgment, the long suffering of God. Waiting for what? For the completion of the ark. Way of escape. Until the ark stood there with its open door before judgment struck. That's all that God did. While the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. What did God do in Noah's day about the wickedness of men? What does it do today about a world filled with violence, corruption of the flesh, men's thoughts and imaginations evil only continually. He got a man to preach and build an ark and warn men of judgment to come and point them to the open door. That's all. That's all. That's all. The liberals, I read them a lot, let them challenge me. They're right on lots of things. A whole lot righter than we are. But they want us to abandon the preaching of the word, and they want us to build nice houses for the people, and I'm for that. They want us to desegregate society, and that's all right. And they want us to burn down the slums, and they want us to build better schools and better hospitals, and I'm for that. But they might weak on preaching righteousness and pointing men to the ark, Jesus Christ, for salvation. And if we improve this old world, and you're just wrong, you're just silly to claim to be a Christian. A Christian loves his neighbor as himself, is that right? You've got it in for anybody because they're not your race or creed. Something wrong with you. Huh? Wouldn't you like for the poor black people in Africa to have an ice box and refrigerator and a car? I like you. Well, it'd be all right, wouldn't it, if it's good for you. But when we come back to the Bible, being for all those things, the business of the people of God primarily is the proclamation of the holy judgment of God that's coming and point men to the ark. Plead with men to get in. For if we cleaned up this whole world and went to hell, it would still be a bad trade. I want to call your attention to five things about the ark, Noah's day, and the Lord Jesus, who's the antitype of it in our day. In the first place, this ark just had one window, and it opened at the top. There wasn't any hope in Noah's day except to look up. And there isn't any hope today except to look up. Looking around you, you go crazy. Just one window and it opened at the top. You got in that ark, couldn't see a thing unless you looked upward. Unless you looked upward. That's still God's program. If he could just get a poor old blind sinner to look the right place, bless God. But as long as he looks around him, he'll never make it. As long as he looks in himself, what he's going to do, he'll never make it. But if the Lord can shut him up the way he just got one place to see it, we'll have not our soul. And that's up, brother. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. That's right. That's right. This ark just had one door. Just had one door. All on God's earth that God did to meet the awful conditions of Noah's day was to have a man build an ark with just one door. Everybody that got in had to come in that door. There weren't two doors, there weren't three, there weren't four, just one. Jesus says today, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In the revival of religion that has characterized your generation and mine, this is the most religious generation God ever looked down upon. In the revival of religion, the one thing that's sweeping the world of the ears, that Jesus Christ is one of the ways, that Christianity is one direction to heaven. But in the Word of God, and we must be as narrow as the Word of God, for if we get rid of it, your opinion's as good as mine, and none of it's any good. Jesus is not one way to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. And we take men away from their resolutions and their decisions and their professions and their good deeds and their beliefs and their doubts and their experiences and say, there is just one door, only one door. The rich man will have to come in that door or stay out. The poor man will have to come by way of Jesus Christ to not get in. The good man will have to bow to get in that door. He'll not get in. Jesus is the only door. He is the only God-appointed, God-anointed Savior. He has no rivals. There's just one door. Just one door. How narrow that is! But that's all that God did in the days of Noah to meet the awful wickedness of the hour. He just had an earth built with one door. And when judgment came, it came on everybody that hadn't got inside the ark by that one door. We better not get so narrow. We don't love souls if we get so broad that we lose the ultimateness of the fact that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. The only Savior. There's the second thing about this ark. In Noah's day, everybody and everything that got in it and were saved from the flood was changed in nature. The scriptures tell us that the animals, two by two, of every breed in there, and male and female of the human species, wouldn't they have had a dog fight if their natures had not been changed and put some lions and some bears and some tigers and some rhinoceros and some polecats and some Baptists and some Methodists and some Presbyterians and some hard shells and some premillennial like old timers? That didn't change a mite. Goodness, wouldn't they have fights? 40 days and nights in there. Ladies and gentlemen. Yes, sir, everybody got in the ark, experienced a change. This is the heart of it. My Lord wasn't trying to keep people out of the kingdom. He's showing them the way. You must be born from above. This isn't because the Lord's mad at folks and don't want them saved. He ain't trying to damn people. He's showing them an utter necessity. Men and women must experience a change to be comfortable, even one with another, to be at peace, even one with another. Wouldn't heaven be some place with a bunch of fighting fundamentalists up there? Woo! They gotta be changed. That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Young fellow down in Mississippi wrote me and asked me if I'd come hold a meeting for him. I'll never forget what the precious young man said in the letter. He said, Brother Bart, we just having lots of people saved down here, but none of them being changed. Can't be. No, that can't be. Oh, Brother Barnum, God's got to drop a chunk of glory in his soul. Give him a disposition to hunger and thirst after holiness. Or Brother Barnard would wreck heaven 5 minutes if I got there. That first thing I'd do, I'd tear up those streets of gold, put them in my own bank. Men and women, that old tiger in the tank got to be changed, brother. Got to be changed. It was not good when we began to make a distinction from being a Christian and having experienced a change that keeps right on changing us more and more into the image of the Lord. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, to get to Christ means to be changed. Our old Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterian long-bearded preachers used to use the expression, "Nothing got to happen where you love what you used to hate. You'll hate what you used to love." That's right. That mean that Christian becomes perfect? No. But it means that something's put in his side of him that makes him to where he can quote one scripture and tell the truth. Said this so about me. I shall be satisfied. Where? When I awake in his likeness. Shall we be made perfect? Not down here in this life. But something will happen to us to where a Christian will be the happiest, most miserable person on earth. He's happy, but he's miserable. He's miserable about the slow progress. Looks like the Lord sure is having a hard time making me like Christ. But if he don't make me like Christ, I ain't gonna make it, brother. Happy that one has even a feeble assurance in his breast that the dear Lord is working at the job of conforming us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation means a change that keeps on changing and gets gooder all the time. And everyone that got in this ark passed through the water. What does that mean? Baptism is not putting away of the flesh, the sinful, filthy flesh, but an answer of a good conscience before God by the resurrection of the Lord, who is gone to heaven. Everything being subject unto him. Every one of the people who got in the ark passed through the water. The flood came and that old ark just sailed along. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, Brother Barnes, just a minute. Baptism in the New Testament means that a man or a woman has signed his life away, and his baptism is a lie, unless it means that that individual has come under the rule and lordship of Jesus Christ with no holds barred. I hear a lot these days about the awful day in which we live. And I'll tell you one thing. If we are as close to the bodily return of Jesus Christ as you people think, yeah, one thing's dead certain. My religion ain't gonna work. The only thing that's gonna hold up in days like the days of Noah are men and women who pass through the waters, and that means they come under 100% to the Lordship of Christ in your daily life. Nothing short of that will do in days like this. It might be, I don't know. I'm not God, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. Maybe back yonder, when they didn't know anything about the Lordship of Christ and you never heard that expression, I don't know, God's merciful. Maybe what we call salvation all these days, that Jesus is a fire escape from hell, and we spend all of our lives in control of our thoughts and everything we are. But brother, that ain't gonna work now. Men and women who have not had experience, something inside of them that's expressed in public baptism, listen to me, are playing out all around us, and they're going to keep on playing, because the only thing that'll endure the judgment that's already on this whole earth, separating professors from possessors more than in any day since you've been alive, is complete totalitarian submission to the blessed rule of King Jesus in your daily life. Everybody got in that ark, passed through the water. And then there's another thing said about this ark. The time came when the door was shut. God, in long suffering, 120 years, old Noah tacking away on that yard, preaching righteousness. Finally, God says, you're going to tell him just 7 more days now. And he went, 7 more days. Finally, he said, come on in there. They went in. And the door got shut. God help us. And it was shut and locked from the inside. And the scriptures say God shut the door. This is Saturday night. You're not out in this atmosphere of this generation. Could I plead with you? You're in the little house of God. This old white-headed preacher. Listen to me. I'm scared. I wonder if God hadn't just about shut the door in America. I'm telling you right now. I talked to a missionary this summer who was just back from Indonesia and told about how the rivers of blessing are flowing in that country. Multiply thousands of people getting to the Lord. He told me how he go to a little church and the Holy Spirit would come almost like the day of Pentecost. Hundreds of people in the little churches get to God like that without any preaching or anything else. Village after village being swept into the kingdom of God. And I rejoice for the people of Indonesia. But I don't know how to handle prophecy very well. Don't criticize me. But I do know one thing. That up till now, every nation that has had the gospel and then began to take it for granted have lost it.
Amen. Amen.
And God's moved on somewhere else.
That's right. Amen.
I don't know whether the scripture we had before us tonight means the coming of Christ is nearer than we think or not. Be all right with me.
Amen.
But I do know one thing, brother. Germany had the gospel. Look at it now. The only place you can find any Christianity in Germany now is in communistic East Germany. You can't find none in West Germany. They're almost as immoral in West Germany, and they're all church members. as we are in America. Over in East Germany, I've talked to some preachers, been over there. The Gestapo attends all the services and takes down by shorthand every word that's said. But the preachers over there preach the gospel. And there's some Christians in East Germany. There's some Christians in Russia. Not many. But England had the gospel. Look at England now. It's common knowledge that the English girls would always cohabit with a Negro before they were a white American soldier. They preferred them. I'm not preaching against racism now. But that's not good. Are you here tonight living in a nation that was planted on the gospel? And now, look at America. God may close that door. I'm not going to stand here and talk to you about the past. I've seen a few little big victories in my life. But all over America now, it looks like everybody got saved and got there. There's one thing I know. I don't care how hard you try to get in a door, if it's locked, you can't beat it down. And if God has shut it, you can't get in. My Lord said, agonize to enter in the straight gate while it's open. Wish men would. For some of these days, God's going to shut the door. Shut the door. If you think it's still open, there's a chance on earth of you getting to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish you'd start crawling. I'm not singing the blues. I think I'm telling the truth. People aren't getting saved in America now. Where I used to see thousands, I see one or two now. That's right. And I'm not by myself. Is there somebody here now still outside that door? It's time to seek the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, have mercy upon this Saturday night congregation. By the sweet, still, small voice of the Holy Spirit, enable men and invite men and plead with men. You can get inside of people. You know everybody here, and the dear preacher, young preacher, don't know anybody. Oh, God, be merciful to us tonight. Be so terrible. Anybody? Go from a little house of God on Saturday night in godless America now. Wind up in destruction. Plead with people right now. Deal with people right now. They may seek the Lord until they find.